Today's conversation comes at a pivotal moment for South Africa. Just days ago, Cabinet approved the Children's Amendment Bill, a major milestone in the journeys towards fixing the ECD system that has failed too many children, practitioners, as well as communities in South Africa. But before we get into it, I'd like to introduce my guests tonight. In studio with me is Tshepo Mantle. Tshepo is a dedicated ECD advocate. He's currently the Right to Reform coordinator. He's an ECD senior coordinator, as well as a member of the Equality Collective. Good evening, Tshepo.
Good evening, Tozama. Thank you so much for having me, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you. We've got David Harrison on the line, CEO of DG Murray Trust.
Good evening.
Good evening, Tozama, David
here.
Thank you for joining us, David. Before we get to you, I'd like to start off with Tshepo. We did the takeover today to have a critical conversation about the Children's Amendment Bill, but I'd like us to start off with some grounding around, like, who is Real Reform for ECD?
Yeah. Real Reform for Early Childhood Development is a broad-based alliance. What that means is that a number of people in the ECD sector, including civil society, NGOs, community-based organizations, parents, ECD practitioners, more importantly, have come together to form this collective that is Real Reform for ECD. And our basic mandate is to ensure that South Africa has an enabling, legal policy and regulatory environment that supports the provision and expansion of ECD. And we do this by advocating for, in terms of ensuring that we have good laws in South Africa that recognize the inherent dignity of young children and supports the people that take care of these children.
That's a very good point, Tshepo, around the people, the very people at the, you know, at the interface of children, as very often not thought about in these conversations. David, I want to come to you, just getting us grounded around the foundations for learning, health and well-being, and even sort of future economic opportunities. My understanding is that they are built before a child enters formal schooling. We talk very often about some of these statistics at foundation phase, etc. But I think the real work here happens far before that. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure, Tozama. I mean, it happens right from the time of conception, right at the time when the sperm brings its DNA and the egg brings its DNA together to form the first fertilized egg of what will become a fetus and then a baby and then a child and then an adult. And when that process comes together, it triggers this incredible process of development. And a child is genetically programmed to thrive if they've got the basic ingredients, the basic inputs in place. And I'll come back to those. But a critical point that needs to be made is that the beginnings of the brain, the beginnings of the nervous system start very, very soon, like 1 week after fertilization, after conception. And then there's this progressive process of developing the brain, developing the nervous system that brings together that lays down the cells, the nerve cells, we call them neurons, and then enables those nerve cells to link to other nerve cells. So the connections are important, so that the part of the brain that has to do with sight is connected to the part that has to do with hearing or emotion or action. That process happens increasingly as the fetus develops still in the mom's womb. And the amazing thing about it is that, as I said, it is an automatic process. It is a genetically programmed process. It doesn't require very, very complicated inputs. What it does require is love and safety. It's got to be a safe environment and when the baby's born, food and stimulation. And when those four inputs are in place, the brain develops so that by the time a child is 3 years of age, the brain's mass, its weight, is about 80% of adult weight. Mm. And it continues to develop. It continues to develop over time. But the point is that by the age of three, a child's ability to comprehend, to talk, to ultimately do literacy and maths and read, all of those building blocks have been laid down in those first few years of life. And that's what makes this so important, because if we can then build on that solid foundation as the child grows up, the child will be able to learn better at school, will do better at school, will be able to participate more fully in the economy, and we will begin to break out of the cycles of poverty and inequality. Why? Because children have got the most basic foundations that we can build the rest on.
So, David, I mean, you mentioned children thriving, and you've taken us through that quite a little bit. I'd like to speak to you a little bit around, like, sort of early childhood programs that exist inside of the Real Reform and, you know, in the space with which you work.
Yeah, and let me say that I think, I mean, part of the challenge we have, and Sepp will speak about it as well, but part of the challenge we've had up to now is that people have thought more about buildings than they have about children's brains. They've thought of early learning as about early learning centers. What we have realized now is that what is far more important is the relationship between the teacher, we call that person an early learning practitioner, mm. and the child. It's that interaction. It's that stimulation between the child and the teacher that grows that child's brain, that grows those the circuitry of the brain, those sort of connections that I've mentioned. So why I'm mentioning that is that interaction between the practitioner and the child can happen in a variety of different settings, and this is what we're realizing now, is that play groups, child-minded groups, toy libraries, centers, parenting programs, all of those are venues, are spaces where early learning can happen. And this is what we have to recognize in South Africa, that if you think about it, the metaphor is of the brain. We've got all of these points, these cells, if you like, around the country, a variety of different modalities of provision. Start connecting them to each other, and we've effectively got a neural system for early learning for the country as a whole. And that I think is the moment of opportunity, based on that recognition now, that we see what we've got to do is enrich and stimulate that national network of a variety of different programs, where what we're really focusing on is the quality of interaction between the practitioner and the child.
Yeah, and these network of programs, David, thank you for giving us like an outline of them. They seem to be critical in terms of the outcome of children thriving. But what needs to change necessarily inside of the system for this to happen?
Well, you know, we've had this rather crazy situation where, as I say, because we've been so fixated with buildings, that we've actually excluded the poorest children, because the poorest children, if they do go to early learning programs, tend to be early learning programs that are run perhaps in a shack, perhaps in a building that doesn't quite meet standards. And so, because we've so been so obsessed with the building, we've sort of put in place hurdles. We've put in place obstacles for access for the poorest children. Now, let's be clear: we've got to keep our children healthy. We've got to keep them safe, and so basic standards have to be met. But beyond that, whether or not the building has an extractor fan, whether it's got a nice lick of paint, is actually far less important than the engagement between the child and the practitioner. And what we have been able to see is that a child outcomes are improved. We've been able to demonstrate through evaluation that even in children who are being taught in facilities, as I said, like shacks, like parenting programs in people's homes, even in those settings, children can develop and can grow. So the big shift that had to be made was to say, look, which children actually need early learning most? It's the poorest children. Where are they? Well, they're not in facility. They're not in Rolls-Royce.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they're in a Toyota. They're in a more primitive sort of situation. Mm. But if they are safe, if they are healthy, and if we can provide quality engagement through support and training to that practitioner, then we actually get the results that we want. And that's the big shift that has happened in the last couple of years.
Thanks very much, David. Clear emphasis around the nexus between children and practitioners, around children thriving and developing inside of the ECD sector. I'd like to bring in my next guest now, really to talk about how the Children's Amendment Bill, which I mentioned earlier on the show, would support the ECD sector around system change. Her name is Tatiana Kazim. She's a legal researcher and law reform specialist and currently a researcher and advocacy lead at Equality Collective, also a member of the ECD Steering Committee. Tatiana?
Hi, Tazama. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Can you talk a little bit, take us through a little bit around sort of the amendment bill? We've heard why this matters. We've heard how development sits in the nexus between the practitioner and children. But for years, ECD programs and early, and especially in poorer communities, have faced major barriers to registration, to funding and support. And I think that's why Cabinet's approval of this bill is so critical at this moment and is such a turning point in the sector. So I'll hand over to you, Tatiana, just to take us through a little bit around the bill, why Real Reform is really calling for this bill to be passed in Parliament, and what significant changes it carries in the lives of children.
Thank you, Tazama. And you're right. Cabinet's approval of the Children's Amendment Bill on the 7th of May is really a historic moment for the ECD sector. And to explain why, I want to take us back to 2022, when the Department of Basic Education took over the ECD function from the Department of Social Development. And at this point, we really began to see a mindset shift when it comes to the regulation of the sector. The DBE leadership team recognized the need for a fundamental change in the law, and they were willing to engage on a practical level and crucially to listen to ECD practitioners in order to remove some of the hurdles that David was talking about just now. So the DBE took the initiative to establish this technical task team that was responsible for drafting the Children's Amendment Bill. That has just been approved now. And this was a really critical political moment. It helped to create this space for a very serious law reform agenda that could address the real challenges in the ECD sector. And if this bill is passed, it will create a step change in the ECD system. So a really key point to understand is that the current regulation of ECD programs under the Children's Act works against vulnerable children, putting access to quality services out of reach. Most ECD programs serving poorer communities can't meet the requirements to register with government. And as David mentioned, this is partly because of the obsession with bricks and mortar buildings.
Mm.
And of course, not all ECD programs operate from that kind of building. But when you have registration requirements that say you must have this structure, this building, in order to register, then that blocks programs out of the system.
Tatiana,
I'll let you finish off that thought.
Mm-hmm.
So another critical point is that if the program's not registered, then it can't access the government ECD subsidy, which is currently 24 rand per child per day. And so you have this catch-22, this brutal catch-22, where the ECD programs that most need support are least likely to benefit from government funding. And that's really what the bill would change.
Thanks, Tatiana. With just about a minute to go before we go to the ad break, you know, what needs to happen now for this bill to become law? If we, you know, someone listening right now, understanding the difference this bill is going to make in the ECD sector, you know, what do they need to do?
Okay, so the fact that the bill was approved by Cabinet is a cause for celebration, but it's not the end of the road, not by any stretch. So first of all, the bill must be tabled in Parliament, and then Parliament must pass the bill in a form that meets the needs of the sector, and this must be done without delay.
Thank you.
People can participate in this process by making submissions to Parliament, and they really should, because the changes are crucial. So if people raise their voices in support, that is going to help us capitalize on this window of opportunity for change.
Thanks very much, Tatiana. Getting the bill passed is exactly what we need at this point, is Tatiana Kazim from Equality Collective. Before we go to the break, our studio line's 086-000-2032. You can get us on WhatsApp on 0614-104-107. Welcome back. We're still on Real Reform for ECD. I'd like to chat to you with my guest in studio, Tsepo Manje. You can get in touch with us on the studio line on 086-000-2032, WhatsApp 0614-104-107. VNs should be less than 30 seconds. DSTV channel 814, Twitter at SAFM Radio, hashtag Tuesday Takeover. Tsepo Manje, tell us about the more recent developments inside of Real Reform for ECD. We've spoken quite a bit around what are the systems required in order for us to get to substantive change for children in the sector. And maybe you could introduce us a little bit around the work that you're doing and the programming there before we get into the other parts.
So I think the real story here for me and for Real Reform is around the importance of getting people on the ground, the practitioners, the parents, the communities, to be the ones who speak for themselves and participate in law creation. So the story of Real Reform really is also the story of the Children's Amendment Bill. We started back in 2020 in response to the Children's Act, which is the national legislation on children, being changed. And at that moment, we recognized that the parts dealing with early childhood development were not significantly adequately representing the needs of the sector. So it was at that point then we decided that we wanted to do something about it. But instead of these NGOs making the submissions themselves, we saw an opportunity to really engage the practitioners. Because one thing we have to understand is that the practitioners are actually the real experts on early childhood development. So if we want to know what is needed in the sector, we need to ensure that the practitioners, the parents, are empowered to participate and inform the Department of Basic Education directly on what needs to change. So the role that Real Reform plays as an advocacy movement, an organizing and mobilizing movement, is that we go into communities, we engage with ECD practitioners primarily about what are the how the laws affect them, and hear from them about what changes need to happen. And then we create pathways of participation in terms of supporting them in making submissions to Parliament. And one of the, in 2020, when we got the Children's Amendment Bill stopped, we managed to actually get over 1,600 submissions made. And primarily, these were done by ECD practitioners.
So talking about submissions then, with this particular bill, is Real Reform open to a similar type of engagement with the public or practitioners particularly?
It
or
is,
are there certain sectors of people you're interested in speaking in and supporting around the bill?
It is definitely our modus operandi, is how we work.
Mm.
Real reform is informed by practitioners. So even in the process, once we get to Parliament, and if there is another process of public participation of any kind, we want people to be able to represent themselves. And this is a lesson for everyone listening. Active citizenry is how we maintain and sustain democracy. I think for far too long, we have discounted ourselves as active agents in lawmaking processes. So movements like Real Reform are important to show people that the power still belongs to the people, and how our country is constituted and the laws that govern us ought to be informed by the people. And the Children's Amendment Bill is a perfect example of this.
And this is a typical conversation. We talk about this particularly around participation and public participation in processes. I mean, we know that South Africa has multiple methods in people being able to advocate for and implement ideas of sustainability inside of their own communities. I mean, some of those processes include the IDP process. I mean, I would imagine the work of Real Reform, and particularly around ECD, considering, you know, David's like, it's not about the paint on the wall. Mm. It's about the engagement between a practitioner and a child. I mean, I would imagine that Real Reform and the work that you do really plays a role inside of that local government sphere.
Yeah.
And particularly what it means for the livelihood of children.
Yes. Yeah, so what Real Reform is working on different levels. So the Children's Amendment Bill is part of the broader national piece around getting national legislation at the top level.
Mm.
And it's part of also the broader idea that the campaign that Real Reform has to get the right to early childhood development recognized and established. However, it's all good and well to have national legislation.
Exactly.
If local governments are not supporting the implementation piece, the national legislation falls flat. So part of what we also do is run a campaign called Make Local Government Work for ECD, which intends to make ECD a local government priority. So in the spirit of active citizenry, as much as we want to get everyone participating in national processes,
mm.
there's also a key opportunity coming up for us in November with the local government elections, where we can really ensure that ECD is on the ballot. So for everyone that is listening, part of how we extend the advocacy work for early childhood development is to ensure that we are speaking to our candidate councillors before they even get elected, for them to understand the importance of early childhood development. And like David said, and I think it's such a key important thing for people to understand, is that when we talk about early childhood development, we're talking about a period of time. We're not talking about a place that a child goes to.
Yeah.
Early childhood development is from conception to 6 years old. And anywhere the child is within that period of time, they're going through that rapid development. So we ought to call on ourselves to be curious about, where is the child between conception and 6 years old? And what are the systems in place that are supporting their development? And then we work backwards to say, how do these systems relate to policy, regulation, and legislation? And then the why Real Reform is so big on movement lawyering, particularly looking at policy, regulation, legislation, is because we want to really embed the value of the child within the within the legal frameworks of the country. Councillors will come and go, presidents will come and go, but once we have the value of the children embedded within our policies, regulation, and legislation, it means that it will outlive everyone else who's there to facilitate the leadership or the political position that they would have to at the time.
So what's the way forward for the bill, Tipo, then? Tatiana's spoke to us a little bit around bill being tabled in Parliament, getting public submissions, Real Reform supporting that work. Mm-hmm. But beyond the bill, what are we seeing around ECD, and what should we be expecting?
I think with the bill itself, it's important to note the key changes that it will bring.
Mm.
And it's not the end point. But one of the key changes is that it will simplify registration. One of the things that have been holding us back as a sector is that we've been largely informal. So umama can just run a center in the backyard and no one knows it's there, and she's working unsupported. And that leaves many children out of the support that they need. So registration has been a key element of ensuring that ECD is early childhood development services are well supported. So the bill will allow us to simplify registration processes beyond what we have currently. It will also help us recognize the different types of services that we have. So we've always thought of early childhood development services and programs as one thing. Historically, people would say the word creche and you just think of this one idea. However, like David said, there are different programs that are available to young children. Even from conception to six, they're at different age groups. There are different needs of young children. So what the bill then does is help us recognize those and legislate for those differently and not just have a one size fits all, because that can never be the case. When we look at a child, we see a unique individual. We're looking at every child. So imagine how many types of services they would need. And then thirdly, it's around government support for these ECD programs. So having a developmental approach towards how we support early childhood development services. And then the way forward really is to continue advocacy. We are now past the first stage in terms of cabinet approving it, but now it's going to Parliament. So continued advocacy, we would like to call on all ECD practitioners, all parents, everyone who has, you can feel it in your heart, this sort of love for the country, and starting to see early childhood development as central to nation building. Yes, it's good to be talking about outcomes, and it's good to be talking about the child themselves. However, we really need to start seeing early child development as an issue of justice, equality, and nation building. And from that lens, we get to engage with childhood development in a very different way, and then make these submissions understanding the matter of justice at hand.
If you want to get into the conversation with us, it's studio line at 086-000-2032, WhatsApp 0614-104-107. Voice notes should be less than 30 seconds on DSTV channel 814, Twitter at SAFM Radio, hashtag Tuesday Takeover. So, but before we close off, we've got a few minutes left, and I'm sure some voice notes that we can play. There are some participants in this conversation. In which areas particularly is real reform for ECD based? So practitioners who are, you know, currently in communities going, well, how do I access you?
Yeah.
How do I support this work? I am struggling with the very same things you're talking about. I mean, the other day you were telling me how much it is to feed a child per day. It is a shocking statistic that anybody thinks that any child can live on that amount per day. Talk a little bit more around some of those challenges that practitioners are going through, but also how those practitioners then, you know, get access to real reform and how they access you.
So Real Reform, we are a national movement, so anyone and everyone can participate and be part of Real Reform. And although we are primarily working with practitioners and supporting practitioners, it's a movement open for everyone who cares about young children. I often say, if you know a child, you should be part of Real Reform for ECD. If you have been a child, and most people, everyone has been, you should be part of early childhood development. And part of our work is across many different elements. So another thing that I think it's very important to bring up here is that early childhood development is not just early learning, but it is a holistic endeavor. There are a few elements that need to be put in place to say we have an early childhood development support system. This includes early learning, opportunities for stimulation. It includes nutrition, and particularly early nutrition within pregnancy period and the first 2 years. These are called the first 1,000 days within early childhood development. And it's also within this first 1,000 days that actually issues of stunting, where there is malnutrition, start to take root. And in South Africa currently, the statistic is that 1 in 4 children are experiencing stunting. So nutrition is a key part of that holistic package to early childhood development. We also have safety and security around the safety of the young child, maternal health and child health, and also responsive caregiving. I love that David earlier spoke of love, and that's around that responsive caregiving. So when we talk about early child development, we're talking about that basket of services, and is the young child able to get these things. So Real Reform then has a few campaigns at hand that people can actively participate in. It is this Children's Amendment Bill, but particularly I want to highlight the local government one, where we can really get active in talking to our councillors and ensuring that issues of zoning, environmental health certificates, infrastructure, basic services like water, electricity, sanitation can be supported, and that's right at the ground. The nutrition campaign, we're also running a campaign calling for the Department of Basic Education to create a nutrition program at ECD centres that can ensure that young children get adequate nutrition, because right now there's a gross underfunding of nutrition, with 24 rand per child per day for the subsidy and only 9 rand 80 being ring-fenced for nutrition. That's about two meals and a snack off of 9 rand. And to make matters worse, that subsidy is not reaching all ECD centres. Only about 40% of the ECD centres that are within registered and qualify for subsidy are getting it. So we really urgently need a nutrition programme. So this Children's Amendment Bill is really that first step that allows that cascading of support that can come thereafter.
Thank you, Tsepo. We're going to take a quick break and we'll wrap up the conversation with the Real Reform for ECD. Welcome back to The Meeting Point. My name is Taza Manjobe. Gokets has been very kind to lend me some time in studio to speak to Real Reform for ECD. Tsepo, we're running out of time, so I'd like us to sort of wrap up. I mean, we've spoken a bit about the laws, right, and law reform. What other changes in the ecosystem are happening to support access to ECD services? I mean, 10 billion was recently allocated by National Treasury for the ECD sector. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, there is quite a bit happening in the ecosystem. And I do want to really credit the ecosystem itself for having come together through movements like Real Reform and other collectives that have been advocating, particularly since the function shift. One of which being this 10 billion that has been funded, that has been allocated for early childhood development. And it is through this 10 billion that we were able to get the subsidy to actually go up from 17 rand per child per day to 24 rand per child per day. Again, this is only the starting point. Yeah. To this 24 rand is not where we are ending off, particularly if we want to get to universal access for early childhood development, which is another thing that has been happening in the ecosystem, that the Department of Basic Education has set a target for themselves to reach universal access to early childhood development by 2030. And they have developed an implementation tool to do this called the Banapele Blueprint. So I would encourage everyone who's listening to quick Google. You can go on Google and search Banapele Blueprint. And this will show you the Department of Basic Education's strategy to ensure that all young children in South Africa are receiving early childhood development services by 2030. And I would say, lastly, it's the advocacy lens that is happening, where we are seeing more and more people seeing themselves as a valuable voice in informing how things are moving in the country. And it has been, for me personally, such a joy to see everyday practitioners in their communities feeling empowered to engage with quote-unquote power, being empowered to go to their counselors, even to participate at a national level to advocate for early children, for young children rather.
You can get into the conversation with Tsepo and I on our studio line on 086-000-2032, WhatsApp 0614-104-107, DSTV channel 814, Twitter at SAFM Radio, hashtag Tuesday Takeover. Tsepo, that's important, Koketso. You know, if we don't get this thing right at the beginning, then what are we doing? Because we go nowhere beyond that moment. I think we should go to that voice note. Tsepo, you and I will just wrap up and hand Koketso back his show.
Yeah, voice note.
I'm so glad that this conversation is happening. It's so important for young children in our country. I'm interested in how we think we can move quickly on this topic. It's been 5 years since the Children's Act came up for review, and we can't wait another 5 years to see change for young children in our country. What do you think could help to galvanize action on this topic?
We need more voices. Thanks for that voice note. And it's such a good question. We need more voices involved, and that's part of why Real Reform exists, is so that we can create the vehicle for people to speak about these challenges. And we need to show clear evidence of the impact of good, supportive developmental processes and legal systems that don't just become punitive and punishing people for not living up or meeting these norms and standards, but how do we guide people and support people towards it? So I'll even take this opportunity to say, for us to ensure that the cabinet approval isn't in vain, but Parliament also passes this bill, is that you could participate and ensure that you lend your voice to this movement. You can visit www.ecdreform.org.za. That is www.ecdreform.org.za. And there you will find out how to participate, how to ensure that your story is told, and how you can ensure that we are able to support you in your community to represent yourself and represent young children and ensure that this bill becomes act and it can support every other part of the holistic framework that we're working towards.
Thank you, Tepo. I really appreciate you taking your time and joining me here to have this really, really critical conversation beyond the Children Amendment Bill. And Kuketso, thank you for the takeover.
Thank you.
It was my first time. I enjoyed it.
And I think you did so well.
Not the last time. There is a need for us to have a whole lot more conversations around the social justice space, the civil society space as well. Tepo, thank you. T, thank you. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Dati.
You will return.
Sure.
That was our Tuesday Takeover host, Thozama Njobe, together with, of course, there was David Harrison, there was Tatiana, as well as Tepo Manje. It is a meeting point on SAFM, 10 minutes past 9.